I was wondering if you could start by introducing yourself a bit more and talking about the work that you do in your various roles and across the different organizations that you're a part of.
Yeah, hi, my name is B. I'm just using pronouns they, them. I am a migrant sex worker. I think it's like I wear many hats and many roles in this, sex worker movement, particularly for Asian and migrant sex workers. I am currently, a member of the AMSWAC, which stands for the Asian Migrant Sex Worker Advisory Group under the Scarlet Alliance, which is a national peak body of the sex worker organization, which mean that people in the group is not just someone who, living in Victoria, but across Australia. And sometime I, speaking or doing advocacy on behalf of the group as well. And I am also currently working at Vixen, which a peer organization in Victoria, which my role is like culturally and linguistically diverse. I'm not really a fan of that word. Support workers. So my role is like kind of like a frontline workers. I'm doing outreach, support, and also like advocacy for the worker as well. And I think the main focus of the demographic of the worker that I work with is someone who are Asian and a migrant sex worker, which is like quite a majority of the people that I support.
Thanks so much for that, Bea. So you're here today to talk us through a few things, but we'll start with the collective called Justice for Our Sisters. I was wondering if you could tell us more about this collective and the importance of having an independent group of and for Asian and Asian migrant sex workers.
Yeah, so this group is, I think it's a creating, it's kind of a responding to, the how failures happen in the society, how the failures happen through the government and immigration. I think like since I, working in this movement, I see and I hear and I observe a lot of voices from Asian migrant sex worker and those community, I can feel the pain. I can feel they what they wanted to fight for, what they wanted to their voice to be heard. And I think this is the just the first step of the group that how to respond to this, case that happened to Yuxi and Yun. And having the independent collective group is because of this is not a we can't rely on only organization where it's just only like regarding just only funding with the government. And we all know that, that the government and the funding has been cut through the Vixen, and that is impacted to, my project. And due to the limitation resources that we already have, that having another group, that group can have the safer space and without any hierarchy, and they can gathering, mourning, grieving in any times that they want. I think that is really important for this group.
There are so many different facets to this group. And like you said, first and foremost, it is a safe space for Asian women and Asian migrant sex workers to live different experience, whether that be, caring for each other, caring for themselves, grieving, so many things. You mentioned before the murder of two sex workers that has been in the news or that, people have been talking about recently, and that's the death of Hyun Suk, Lisa John, and also Yu Chi Luo. And I guess, you were alluding to the fact that Justice for Our Sisters is a response to that. Can you talk us through the reporting on the murder of these women and what was left out of the story? And we're talking about mainstream media here.
Yeah, I think the great thing of having a space is like we be able to speak freely. We can speak, respond in any way that we want by and from, the community, which is that is how the mainstream media lack of. Yeah, I think the first thing that, you know, we all see in the mainstream media always put the story sobbing of the murder about how disability he is, how he'd been bullied. And when I read it, of course, I feel like feel angry, because the main intention of the media want people who read it to feel like you have to feel empathy for this person who killing someone, you know, without any acknowledge about just only tiny bit of the story of the family, you know, how they're struggling. And of course, like, even though you've been bullied or you are disabled, it doesn't mean that you can kill someone, right? And I think, like, the second part is, like, that they didn't tell how young she when she was died, she was 31, and Yoon is 51. How many lives of the beautiful life that both life, you know, still can have in this world. But when compared with the charge that he received, only 7 years. Yeah, when we see it, definitely it's unfair. And I think the third one that what I want to address is, like, I was there in the sentence day, you know, I watched the online, and I can hear the sentence written, which is now already published, and you can all go and read it. So even now, we still, like, don't really know that the detail of how Yoon died. We still didn't know how that she died, what causing her death. But how can the police, you know, accurately decide on the charge of the manslaughter for the plea deal? And I think, I wonder if, you know, if this case it happened to someone that a woman and may use house to, like, work, for example, a teacher who, like, white, you know, who are not a migrant, and this case has happened the same thing. Is that the public going to upset or outraged at the same way as this? Is the public media going to see, going to talking about it like this? Is that going to be a lot of flowers on the street, as same as, you know, what happened to Yushi and Luo? I think this is the thing that we need to see. Like, one is, like, one person that may be safer on their life and job, and another one who, like, the workers who consider that their job is more risk. And it's kind of like a victim blaming, that we are, the mainstream is creating the this is the normal because they are sex worker.
Yeah, for sure. And it's the media saying to the wider community who is worthy of grief, who is worthy of empathy, who is worthy of care and love. And whilst they are simultaneously manufacturing empathy for the perpetrator of this violence, whilst also dehumanizing these women by reducing their full lives to their job or to very sort of shallow descriptions of who they were, which as a flow-on effect can impact the way that the broader community responds to news like this. And I guess following on from that, I was wondering, you know, in your line of work and with the communities that you are working with, if you could discuss it a bit more, the violence perpetrated against sex workers, not just from, you know, potential clients themselves, but the wider community. And that could be, you know, mainstream media that we've just talked about, or programs and services, funding that exclude not only sex workers, but migrant sex workers.
Yeah, I really like to mention, like, one of our member, like, always said that this is just only a tip of the icebergs. When we see the violence is could be coming from many forms. If, for example, in this part that we can see that from the labor rights, when what happened to Yushi, when the murder, he was asking her to, you know, for the extra job, extra services. And Yushi stood up for herself, you know, stood up for her rights, stood up for her labor, her worth, to get more money. And this is so normal and common in our industry that when someone asks to get the more services, come on, you need to get more money. But instead of that, what he did, he assaulted her, he killed her, and he robbed her. So you can see, like, this is coming from, I think, the big picture of the society when see Asian migrant sex worker that we still worthless, we still see as a cheap products. You know, this is not just only something that we just recently talking about. We know that women still, you know, have the pay like under, you know, rather than a man. We know that if someone who migrant woman still, if English is not your first language, still get paid less. And we know that within this our sex worker movement, when you're a person of color, you're Asian, you're a migrant, it still, you know, have a lot of racism and discrimination against us. So that is the first part of the labor right and how the we worth a different way when compared with other race or other citizens. And the second part, I think, is about the government, you know, not just only not supporting us enough, but even creating, like, for example, Operation Inconuk, you know, the border force that targeting us and high profiling us because we are just Asian, and that is, you know, coming to the workplace and raiding us. So that is making sex worker feeling fears of like being deported back to the home country or being phased out, and also the funding also not supporting to us enough as well, and even not just not supporting but also cutting and seeing us still, this is not the priorities for them.
Yeah, there are so many layers to that in which you've just talked about, so many layers of exploitation and dehumanization through just advocating for yourself and for your labor one-on-one with a client, and then having to resist against the government and immigration authorities, and also fighting for funding services to support sex work. I was wondering, you know, in your line of work and with the communities that you are working with, if you could discuss it a bit more, the violence perpetrated against sex workers, not just from, you know, potential clients themselves, but the wider community. And that could be mainstream media that we've just talked about, or programs and services, funding that exclude not only sex workers, but migrant sex workers.
Yeah, I really like to mention, like, one of our members, like, always said that this is just only a tip of the icebergs. When we see the violence is could be coming from many forms. If, for example, in this part that we can see that from the labor rights, when what happened to Yushi, when the murder, he was asking her to, you know, for the extra job, extra services, and Yushi stood up for herself, you know, stood up for her rights, stood up for her labor, her worth, to get more money. And this is so normal and common in our industry that when someone asks to get the more services, come on, you need to get more money. But instead of that, what he did, he assaulted her, he killed her, and he robbed her. So you can see, like, this is coming from, I think, the big picture of the society when see Asian migrant sex worker that we still worthless, we still see as a cheap products. This is not just only something that we just recently talking about. We know that women still, you know, have the pay like under, you know, rather than a man. We know that if someone who migrant woman still, if English is not your first language, still get paid less. And we know that within this our sex worker movement, when you're a person of color, you're Asian, you're a migrant, it still, you know, have a lot of racism and discrimination against us. So that is the first part of the labor right and how the we work a different way when compared with other ways or other citizens. And the second part, I think, is about the government not just only not supporting us enough, but even creating, like, for example, Operation Inconuk, you know, the border force that targeting us and high-profiling us because we are just Asian. And that is, you know, coming to the workplace and raiding us. So that is making sex worker feeling fears of like being deported back to the home country or being phased out. And also the funding also not supporting to us enough as well. And even not just not supporting, but also cutting and seeing us still, this is not the priorities for them. Mm.
Yeah, there are so many layers to that in which you've just talked about, so many layers of exploitation and dehumanization through just advocating for yourself and for your labor one-on-one with a client and then having to resist against the government and immigration authorities and also fighting for funding services to support sex work. You mentioned Operation Inconuk just now. I was wondering if you could explain to our listeners what that is exactly and why it needs to be stopped.
Yeah, Operation Inconuk is under the border force. They established around like September 2022. So the main work that they do just to you know, it's just to like support the sex worker who on temporary visa who are risk of the trafficking. So it seemed, you know, that what I explained seemed like they might do something well or do something good. But in the practical, they're just raiding, you know, to the sex worker who like what their stereotype that they look at. For example, because I work in the outreach in Victoria for like over 3 years now, I've been, you know, even in Victoria, we already passed decriminalization, which is all the sex worker, you know, you can work freely without any like criminal offense. However, the raiding is still happening. And last month it still happened. You know, I still have the report. The workers still reported me a raiding that happened. And why it needs to stop? Because when the raiding happened, imagine that, you know, 7, 8, or 9 officers without the fully wearing the official clothes and also with the gun, you know, came into the workplace, came into the Asian brothels or Asian massage. Their intention want to like see someone maybe trafficked there, but in fact it's no trafficking. And that is the majority, it's no trafficking. But what happened when they came in, definitely it without any notice. Some of worker like they're still like working in the room and some may be like partially naked at behind the room. So when they came in, they just asked for visa and checks for the passport. Yeah, they didn't check anything or worry about like how our well-being look like. And that is creating fears for the workers because many workers doesn't want to go back to that place anymore because they're scared. And they not even know like what the information that they take it, what they're going to use it. Some workers refuse to go back to the home country for traveling because they're scared that when they come back, they will be deported. I think this is also preventing a lot of sex workers accessing to the services. I think it's more even harm to the sex worker than helping.
Mm. Yeah, there's that surveillance that happens of sex workers and goes back to the beginning when you were saying it's so important to be able to speak freely because it helps people to better understand what the situation is for sex workers you know, on the face of it, Operation Inglenook trying to stop trafficking, like you said, okay, like, is that a positive initiative? But in fact, it's not. It's harmful, it's destructive, and it is targeting migrant women and creating really unsafe workspaces. Mm-hmm. So again, it's an intersection of, like immigration, workers' rights, safety, so many things, which is what makes your work so important. I wanted to move on to, you know, justice and looking at justice for women like Hyunan Yuchi, who have been murdered, other Asian and migrant sex workers who are faced with violence, whether that's violence from individual perpetrators or state-sanctioned violence, government violence. B, what does justice look like for these women here in so-called Australia?
I feel like, it's a lot. Like what I explained, is a lot of thing that we are fighting for on the, just being Asian migrant sex workers. In Victoria, we have a decriminalisation. We have Equal Opportunity Act that already included sex workers. But it's still a lot of gaps, let out a lot of community, let out a lot of street-based sex work that is still facing with the policing, still facing immigration, deporting every single day. I think that is another thing that, you know, how we can, still keep our voice and yelling and have the safest channel or platform in order to, updating information and what happened. And also, like, addressing about the labor issues that happen to Asian migrant sex workers, at how we can see that we are not a cheap product. We can see that you can't just come and do anything that you want. You can't expecting us to work more and pay less. How that is could addressing and raising awareness of that. How governments stop, spending, wasting money to the Operation Inglenook. They put $50 million, to anti-trafficking intervention, that including Operation Inglenook and rescue industry, which is a lot of organization try to come and saving us, try to get us out of the industry because they think that we've been forcing to work here. And they still see that sex work is still not work. So there is many different issues that, and the government still not seeing peer organizations, seeing sex worker that we can do something, not seeing us as priority, not seeing us as something that, go toward the community, not going toward to the law enforcement.
Yeah, thank you for that, B. My final question is, as the community or as community members, what can we do to show solidarity with sex workers and Asian migrant sex workers? And I know that you've been doing lots of work within the Justice for Our Sisters collective. So, what are some actions that we can take to show solidarity?
Yeah, I think that we can't really fight this on, just our own. We need a lot of allies. We need a lot of people to kind of amplify that. Because people or government already expect us to keep quiet or like silence us already, I think it's good if like a lot of people still keep, talking, chatting. If you have your own channel, put as some contents of you and then speaking about it, inviting people in and talking about it. Tricia, you have a lot of channel, a lot of people, maybe like including this into your space and creating more and change term of the media, terms of policy. I believe everyone have your own power in your own hands. You have way to support us in many ways, even though you're not sex workers, showing that you are standing together. And I think justice for our sister, we have demands. You can go and have a look and also sign a petition as well. I think that would be a big help, and keep following and supporting for peer organization or peer community, because they are expertise of their own.
Thank you so much, B, for that. And thank you for joining us on 3CR today.
Thank you.